again, and welcome to another Geekly Debate. This is Taylor.
And Gomer.
And Danny.
And this week, what we have for you is we're going to try to argue what we think is the best animated series ever made.
Yes.
East, west, it could be either. Just as long as it's drawn and not live action, fair game here.
Yep. Go ahead, Taylor.
Okay, well, I'll start things
off,
I guess.
Yes, definitely. Because I think a lot of your criteria are also my criteria. And then I put forth a little bit more on why I chose the one I chose.
Okay. Well, the one I'm going to choose is actually a fairly recent cartoon in the grand scheme of things.
Yeah.
Avatar: The Last Airbender.
Awesome show.
I say that it is an awesome show.
Amazing show.
And I consider it the best because I can't really think of any weaknesses it has as a show. It has so many things that it does very well. It's genuinely funny.
Yes.
It's got an inventive world with a lot of great mythology built into it, well
mm-hmm.
thought out.
Yep.
The plotting and pacing are very strong, very well thought out throughout.
Perfect. Even the awkward flashbacks that they give you, the out-of-order history, it works. It doesn't matter that it's out of order. It works to help each episode, what they choose to tell you from the past.
And it also develops the world more deeply.
Exactly, yeah. Exactly.
And it is a beautiful world.
Oh, and amazing world that they've set up.
And it
there.
Lends itself well to great action sequences, beautiful fighting choreography.
Mm-hmm.
It really does have it all.
It really does.
Even beyond the inventiveness of the setting,
mm-hmm.
they distinguish themselves as storytellers. There's only one episode I can think of which I think didn't accomplish anything.
Yeah.
The episode where, like, they have the beach party.
Okay, but that wasn't meant to be a fun episode.
It was meant to be a fun episode.
It wasn't supposed to take itself seriously with the rest of the... Not that it did at all take itself
Cactus
seriously.
Cactus juice, man.
Yeah.
Cactus juice.
Well, just my only complaint about it is it tried to humanize Azula a little bit. And that's not something I think they should have tried to do, because Azula is probably one of the best villains I've ever seen in a cartoon. Hyper-competent, hyper-effective,
yeah,
extremely dangerous,
mm-hmm.
but not just in the sense that she could fry you to your cinders.
Yeah.
She's so dangerous because she's so smart.
Yes, but with that said, I think that was one of the show's shining aspects, was being able to humanize all the characters in a way that other animated shows necessarily didn't. You might get a humanization with this character. Avatar took a lot of attention with each and every character.
They did.
It was really a lot of thought into what they wanted to do with that show.
They did.
Yeah.
And if you ever read... one thing I always say about Avatar, the reason, for instance, I think it's better than Legend of Korra has been so far.
Okay, okay.
If you ever go to tvtropes.org, one of my favorite ones they list on there is the idiot ball.
Okay.
The idea that a character behaves just inexplicably stupid.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Usually for the sake of the plot.
Okay.
I usually don't begrudge a show for doing something like that.
For having a jester character.
Well, no, not a jester character. An otherwise competent character makes a stupid decision.
Oh, okay. All right.
One thing I always say about Avatar that makes it so good is they never really had to resort to that. Characters always did things, maybe not the best option, but a logical option. You can understand why they did the things they did. They never had to resort to contrivances to push the plot forward.
Agreed. Totally agreed.
Sorry, I slipped and fell on this door lever, and look, now it's open.
Yeah.
Things like that.
Yeah.
Okay, well, I was just talking about Korra, the most recent season of that. The major forward motion of the second season was caused by Korra being a goddamn idiot in the first couple of episodes.
Yes, yes.
And they never really... And I understand they had to do that, otherwise there isn't a second season.
Yeah.
Or, well, not necessarily had, but, like, that served a purpose. Yeah. They never had to resort to that with Airbender that I can think of.
Agreed, totally agreed. The animation, the direction, the production... The voice acting. Everything was spot on.
I think the voice acting drove the characters
brilliant.
As much
yeah.
because you had a lot of very, like, classic voice actors. You know, they have Mako playing the uncle.
Yeah.
And sadly he passed away, I think, right before the series ended, right?
I think they had to replace him for the third season.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But
yes,
he
because
built
in the second
the
season
character.
They had an episode dedicated to him,
yeah.
I remember.
Yeah. You know, he just through the sound of his voice, he built a character, and that character was just very integral to the entirety of the world and mm-hmm. the storyline.
And they did something that a lot of people would say is impossible. They found competent children voice actors to be a lot of these
characters. That is something that is missing from a lot. I mean, you think of probably the most well-known animated child of all time, Bart Simpson. A 40-year-old woman has always played him.
Yep.
So, yeah, it's really hard to get competent voice actors. And it's a two thing. It's a two-edged sword. You want to get a competent voice actor, but then you want to have the show last longer, then that voice actor is going to have that voice.
Well, that's...
You know what I mean?
That's another thing I think is a major merit in the show's favor.
Yes.
They did it three seasons, and they have a spinoff show now, but they didn't try to artificially elongate that initial
yes.
story.
Agreed. Totally agreed.
They had it plotted out for three seasons, and... learns water bending, learns earth bending, learns fire bending, fights the Fire Lord. And they didn't try to throw some contrivance in there.
Yeah,
to
and all
put
those
out a
seasons
season.
Sort of had the same resonating theme to them, above and beyond just, hey, this is the water season, this is the fire season.
Well, you see genuine growth.
Exactly,
I mean, the first season,
exactly.
Aang is not ready to fight the Fire Lord, even beyond not knowing all of his bending arts.
Yes.
He is still very much a child, and you see him grow up as the show continues.
One of the
same story of Katara
exactly,
and Sokka.
Exactly, yeah. Most of the
especially
characters.
Zuko.
Yeah.
Zuko has a great character.
And he gets so much development throughout the series.
One of the things I think Avatar did best, and maybe this is a generational thing, but I thought it was the perfect tandem, the perfect meetup of East meets West.
It was.
As far as the animation and the themes go, they were very Asian, very Japanese animation, anime. But when you get to the actual tone and the sense of the story, it's purely an American story. It really is.
Yeah, I can see
but
that.
But it crosses over a lot. You get a lot of elements from East and West in all of the aspects of the show. And I think that was another really defining, you know, facet of the show, was the way it was able to do that.
Yep.
Excellent pick. A little before my time as far as me being into animation the way I really used to be into animation.
Do you mean after your time then?
After my time. Did I say before?
You did.
It's been a bad morning for me. I'm trying to pull myself together for the
those
podcast.
Of you who don't know, we had to delay the podcast.
Yeah, I had to
Gomer
run all
the
way
mic
back
at home.
15 minutes each way to run back and get a microphone. But either way, the series I have chosen for the best series of all time has all of the same elements I think that Avatar has. The animation, storytelling, production, voice acting. But I think that this show came in a time when it was needed the most. A little bit of history. The 80s, 1980s, we saw an end of the animated action series. Transformers, G.I. Joe. They were sort of like the Def Leppard of cartoon series. And what I mean by that, every other show after that tried to be that in one aspect or another. The not-so-good storytelling, the attention put on the high action. There were a lot of shows that tried to be those shows.
Yeah, 80s cartoons are pretty shitty by
today's
standards.
Yes. So, by the 1990s, we had shows like Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure, New Kids on the Block, and not to take anything away from this show, we had Bobby's World. Bobby's World was great. It was not the kind of cartoon show that I enjoy watching. Although we did, in 1990, have Captain Planet and The New Adventures of He-Man. But if you go into history and say, what are the best animated shows, those shows don't make it.
No, they really don't.
No. 91, Back to the Future, Darkwing Duck, Super Mario. Not to take anything away from those shows, but those were not the sort of animated series that
you
I clung to.
You take everything you want away from Super Mario and just leave it in
exactly.
Yeah, I was about to say, why are you throwing Super Mario in with Darkwing Duck?
I was going to say, Darkwing Duck is amazing.
I'm saying the best tagline
in Flexi Dangerous.
But they were both kind of campy and cheesy, not the sort of
they
action
cartoons. Well, Darkwing Duck
cartoons.
Is very much for children.
Children, yeah.
Well, are you saying Avatar wasn't?
I think it can be enjoyed equally by children and adults.
I think that's probably an opinion, and depending on the person, Darkwing Duck as well could be enjoyed. But it just depends. 91, we had Pirates of Dark Water.
Yeah.
An amazing show.
But by
92, Addams Family, Wild West Cowboys of Moo Mesa, Little Mermaid, and although the movie was amazing, Goof Troop show. But then in 92, we had the X-Men come out. And around that same time, we had Batman the Animated Series drop. After that drop, 93, we had Animaniacs. Still a comedy show, but it had a lot edgier content to it. Double Dragon, Exo Squad, the new adventures of Captain Planet. The old Captain Planet was so bad compared to the new batch of cartoons that were coming out that they had to redo it. Rocko's Modern Life, also in 93, which, if you've ever seen that, had a great edge to it, an adult edge. And I don't think any of this would have happened if not for Batman the Animated Series. Bruce Timm, you know, it's his baby. Paul Dini, who's even a current comic book writer, writing on it. Kevin Conroy is the voice of Batman. Mark Hamill as the voice of Joker. Probably the most timeless voice in all of comics, if that makes any sense. Most people I know who read Joker today hear his voice in Mark Hamill's
voice. I do. Joker's voice in my hand. Yeah. Whenever I read a comic, I'm reading it as Mark Hamill.
Yeah.
Whenever I read Batman, he's Kevin Conroy.
Exactly.
Yeah. It's the defining voice kind of for...
Theme by Danny Elfman. Danny Elfman did the theme song. Now, a lot of that harkens back to the show, the movies that were at that time, the Tim Burton's movies. So I could see that coming over. This was the first animated show in DC's animated continuity. And anyone who knows DC animated continuity understands the importance of that of continuity. Harley Quinn.
Yeah,
premiered in there. So did Renee Montoya and some villain characters. But Harley Quinn is probably one of the most well-known comic book characters of all time.
Yeah, she's probably the most successful continuity immigrant, I think is the term you use.
Yeah, Starfire from Marvel, maybe a close second, but I don't think anyone can...
Wait, what?
Was it Starfire? Firestar?
Firestar.
Firestar is DC.
No, Firestar.
I'm thinking of...
Yeah, Spider-Man and his amazing friends.
Has she ever been that popular in the comics?
She's in Amazing X-Men right now. And I'm not saying that she's that
popular.
Who
hasn't been in the X-Men?
But she's in a book currently being published. And
okay, I agree with you completely about Harley Quinn. You're kind of losing me with Starfire.
That's my point. Who else comes even close to being one of those immigrants than Harley? Exactly.
Well, Batgirl got her start on the Adam West TV show, I'm fairly certain.
Okay. All right. And Jimmy Olsen was in the radio serial.
That is true.
But I would still not give either two of those even close to the credit in this context as Harley Quinn. There's almost no debate at all that Harley Quinn is the best, would you call it a comic book immigrant? Continuity immigrant to ever be created. Clayface's appearance in that has become his appearance in the comic book. That's what everyone thinks of Clayface.
You're so defined.
Two-Face first wears the two-sided suit within this animated series.
Oh, did he really? That seems like such an obvious thing to do.
I know, right? Him having a multiple personality disorder first comes out, Harvey Dent having a multiple personality within this series. Mr. Freeze's tragic backstory with his frozen wife first comes in this, and all of this is emulated within a source material that was 60 years old before the series even started. It really shows how powerful and influential this show was.
Talking a lot about its influence, but that's certainly other strengths.
Of course.
The voice acting was great. The animation was great.
Amazing. And most of the stories were taken right from the comic books.
It's a very mature cartoon, too. Yes. You can sit down and watch it as an adult just fine.
Yes. My kids actually won't watch The Phantasm, the movie, because it's too scary for them. They don't like it.
Oh, really?
Yes. Yeah. There were other aspects. Grey Ghost being played by Adam West. Perfect.
Gentleman Ghost. Gentleman Ghost.
Was it the Gentleman Ghost? It was Grey Ghost. Okay. Well, one way or the other, that character played
by
Adam West.
I remember distinctly because there was like the radio, the Grey Ghost.
Yeah.
Was like the spiel they did whenever
That was a really neat throwback to probably the other most popular Batman on TV show. And I just thought that was really neat, really nice aspect.
Well, the Batman animated series, though, you could argue it maybe paved the way for movies taking comic books seriously.
Yes.
Because that TV show certainly did not take a serious approach to what they were doing.
The animated series.
No, the old Adam West was like campy as fuck.
Yes. Yeah, it's arguable that the Batman the animated series was the first real gritty adult take on an adult source material.
Outside of the comics themselves, yeah.
Yeah.
The first adaptation to take itself seriously, so to speak.
And it was just a nice breath of fresh air, and I think it came at the perfect time in the animated series that we had going on at that time.
How are you today?
from there, we don't get the Fantastic Four show or the X-Men. Or maybe we get the X-Men show. Maybe we don't get as many seasons of the X-Men show. Because those first couple seasons of the X-Men really paled as compared to what Batman the Animated Series started. But, yeah, that's my favorite. I think that's the best of all time. We're not going with favorite. X-Men's probably my favorite, if I had to go back and choose one. But I think as far as best all time, wrapping everything up into a nice little bundle with a bow on it, you add those sprinkles of the influence that it had on its genre, I think that pushes it over the top.
I certainly can't argue its influence, but I will say that it does show its age a little bit.
Oh, definitely.
In terms of blockiness of, like, the animation sequences.
Definitely, definitely.
There wasn't, like, the fluid feel you see in later types of shows.
Yeah. Well, I mean, even, like, the depth of field.
Yes.
Like, it gets really grainy towards the background because they're just mats. You know?
Yeah, and you can tell they hadn't perfected the computer-generated, you know, art style, or even computer-aided art style that we see, like, in shows, say, like Young Justice and even Avatar, you know?
Yeah.
Awesome shows. What about you? What do you think would be the best?
Best animated shows.
Yeah, there's so many.
There's a lot.
Yeah, I mentioned Pirates of Dark Water. Anyone who hasn't seen that show should definitely check it out.
Well, okay, I like shows that have an overall plot, but really, like, sharp, direct storylines. I love Samurai Jack. Samurai Jack
great
is
choice.
Probably my top show of all
That's
time.
That's a great choice.
Because it takes a lot of... Well, not only did... You know, you have Phil Lamar, who is greatest at voicing, well, everything you've ever heard on television.
Yeah, totally agree.
It's got good writing, and a lot of the
Mako
episodes...
Again.
Mako again, playing the villain. It takes a lot of stance towards really making an artistic show for several
totally
episodes.
Agreed. Yeah, the art is...
And it really is. It's driven so much just by the color and the confluence of colors that each episode feels different while still having a story arc.
Yeah.
Samurai Jack was a brilliant TV show. I'm thinking specifically, you're talking about artistic episodes, the episode where he fights the ninja.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, he eventually gets down to...
The white
fighting,
the white,
like,
and black.
They're moving between the white and black backgrounds.
Yep.
And, like, they themselves go in and out of focus.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like,
it seems like they were really trying to make that show a piece of art.
Yeah.
First and foremost.
Well, not only that, even the music that they got to bring in,
definitely.
And it was never the same guy, and they always tried to modernize the music versus the, you know, the very classic kind of ideology that was going on.
Yeah.
You know, and then you get the Robo-Western thing, which was really cool.
Yeah. And it had sort of a kung fu like music style to it that was updated.
I mean, it's basically, you know, the entire Wu-Tang Clan.
Every episode was fresh. Yeah. In fact, I think the only recurring characters on that show were Jack, Aku, and the Scotsman.
Yeah.
Maybe
Jack
his dad showed up more than once.
Flashbacks
to his dad,
obviously.
Well, plus they also, you know, they didn't stay within their own comfort zone as much as this is just feudal Japanese time travel lore. You know, they went through all these different pantheons, and they had, you know, arguments towards, well, this was what was different so that it's not just feudal Japan.
Yes.
All in all, very great, great, great television show.
I totally
probably
agree.
My favorite of all time.
Hate me for saying this, but I don't think you can consider it the best because it never finished. It's a tragedy that it never finished. It deserved to get
finished. That's
strong
argument.
As a story, there's no ending.
Yeah.
Well, and then we get to, like, the Firefly. Firefly never really had a chance to start, but I bet we could all make an argument for it being the best series, science fiction series on TV.
Well, I would have, in order to not be a hypocrite, I'd have to argue no, it's not the best because, well, they actually, they resolved a lot of stuff with the movie,
yeah,
so they got that at least.
Yeah.
But,
And that's another
damn shame.
But that's another aspect of animated that we didn't really talk about, as far as Avatar having movies that came after it and sequels, not just the live action.
Live
one.
Action does not exist.
Yeah, there were
talking.
Other Airbender.
Shake your head. It didn't
there
happen.
Were other animated Airbender, like 2-hour specials and things like that. Were there?
No.
No.
Were there episodes that they combined to make?
Yeah, they did.
Okay.
The final episode was, it's effectively a 2-hour episode.
Yeah. But I think
they usually split into 4 when they show them.
Yeah, but I think we could take Korra and attribute it, you know, to the giving it better, the Avatar, making it a better of the best. And I think
if
you look at the...
I will say...
go ahead.
For my purposes, I distinguish the shows themselves from any sort of tie-ins.
Yeah.
For instance, I'm distinguishing Korra from Airbender.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not really taking the comic tie-ins into account with Airbender. They are good, but I'm just, for the purposes of this discussion, I'm looking at these things standalone.
Okay. But
anything that can stand alone should stand alone. Well, like, if we were talking about, I would never argue that for this for the Bass, I'm just saying.
Okay.
If we were talking about Naruto, I would have to say the first series and the second series, because that's the same story.
Of course.
That's not self-contained.
Yeah. But
again, never would argue that.
Yeah. But if you take Korra into account, and we can take the Batman the Animated Series movies into account.
Sure, you can take Mask of Phantasm into account.
And those, well, I mean, that one actually over the does top. Pull continuity from
it does.
The show.
Well, there's also the thing about...
Korra pulls from Avatar as well. And there's lots of concepts they don't re-explain in Korra.
Batman Animated Series, each episode is more or less self-contained. There's stuff that carries over from one... it'll show up again later, but... Yeah. You can watch episodes and isolate. Yeah. It's not one overarching story like Airbender.
Let's take this. Does that take away or add to a show? That like Airbender was a fully contained every season. You have to watch episode one before you watch episode five.
That's not
so with Batman.
That's not an objective thing. That's just a matter of personal preference.
I agree.
It's not its fault. That's the way Batman is in the comics and everything.
Yeah.
It's episodic.
But you could say that the final episode of Avatar... Doesn't have as much feel if you haven't watched all of the other episodes before it.
True.
Not so probably with the Phantasm movie.
Yeah, you could never watch that Phantasm. You'd be fine watching.
Yeah. I'm not sure if that takes away or adds though to the enjoyment of the series on their own.
Objectively, it does neither.
Yes,
that's a personal opinion. For instance, if I were to begrudge Batman that, I'd also begrudge Star Trek.
Oh, of course.
I would never begrudge
Never.
Star Trek,
I would never either. I wouldn't expect you to either.
Hiss.
Cool. That was a fun debate. Anything you guys want us to talk about in the future, send us an email. Leave it in the comments. Get some discussion going about that. As always, OutrightGeekery.com. Check us out there. Special thanks to Comic City 2 in Madison, Tennessee for the location. We couldn't do it without them. And I guess that's it. Bye, guys.
Have a good day. We'll be right back.